others from where you are. Amen? Because God has a way of bringing the high low and lifting the low high. Y'all with me today? Oh, yeah. We can't afford to do that. We got to make sure, because he says everyone, not some, everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Amen? Let me tell you what abomination, abominable means. I know some of you already know, but for those who don't, it means disgusting. A disgusting thing is an abomination. Amen? Something that's not proper. Something that is just like adultery to God. In other words, you don't have no connection with him when you are proud. Amen? He said he what? Resist the proud. But he gives grace to the who? The When he says resist the proud, that means that he pushes you off. Now, when I was younger, you know, if somebody came too close to me that I didn't like, I push them off. Don't get too close. And if you came back, then, you know. So what that means is exactly what I said. When he said he resists the proud, he'll push them off. And when they try to approach, he will fight against them. God will fight against the proud. That's what it means. God will fight against people who are proud. And he says, you're abominable. You're despicable. I won't even look at you. I ain't listening to your prayers. Y'all still with me? Y'all got mighty quiet, though. He says that. Everyone that is a proud heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand joined in hand, he shall not be unpunished. Look, even if you try to join up with somebody that's right, he said you're still going to get punished. Let me give you a biblical example. The Bible says Jehoshaphat, who was a righteous king, decided he was.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Circling the globe. With the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's word for your life today.
I want you to turn to Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11, and our reader is going to read these words in your hearing. Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11.
Philippians chapter 2, verse 9. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Verse 10, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. Verse 11, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
Amen. God bless you. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I just want to, on this resurrection morning, not talk so much about heroes. He's alive. He is not here. But rather, I want to talk about the reason he rose. And to help us understand that why so many of us don't have the full understanding of what this day means is because when he rose from the dead that third day Sunday morning, the first Easter resurrection day, was far bigger than just getting up and getting out of the grave. It was to prove that he was who God said he was, who he said he was, who the prophets and scriptures said he was, but more than that, to receive the elevation of exaltation that could only come when he had completed the work that God had assigned to his hands. And so it's important, my brothers and sisters, to understand that if we truly know Jesus is Lord, we'd have something to shout about more than just on Easter Sunday morning. When we would know in our heart of hearts that Jesus is Lord in our lives, over our lives, then, excuse me, then we too would be able to understand how we have the right to tap in to that power of that person who has provided for us everything we'll need on this side and on the other side of glory. Paul examines the believers in the church of Philippi. And if you'll look at this, verses 1 through 4 literally talks about how Paul is talking about how the people of God were selfish and conceited and stuck up and looking out one for themselves only instead of one for another. And he sees this and he's disturbed at this action, at this kind of movement, at this kind of behavior. And he tells them, let this mind be in you. Verse 5, which was also in Christ Jesus. And then he goes on to tell them, who in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God. But then he goes on to explain how Jesus used what he had been given to intercede for mankind, and how he humbled himself as he took on the form of human flesh to come and be the Savior of the world as God had ordered and ordained him to do. He showed us the greatest example of humility. I think if the Christian believer needs to know anything, it needs to be how to humble themselves. You'll be surprised at what God can do and what God will do if we learn how to humble ourselves. Verses 6 through 8 gives us this understanding. And then it tells us he humbled himself even unto death, and that of the death of the cross. Now listen at this. Jesus was both man and God. Jesus dealt with the realities of every struggle, every strife, every situation that every one of us will ever encounter in this world, and he overcame that. But he wants us to understand that his teachings have been, from the beginning of his ministry, long, meek, and humble is the way. If a man slaps you on the one cheek, turn the other cheek. If a man asks for your coat, give him your cloak also. If one compels you to go 1 mile, go 2 miles. To love those who hate you, pray for those who despitefully use you. I mean, Jesus showed us how to be humble. But there's a reason he taught us how to be humble, not just to be walked on, stepped on, not just to be humble so that others could take the high road over us, but for us to understand there is a principle in humbling ourselves, according to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6, which tells us to humble ourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that he might exalt us in due time. What does that mean? That God has a time and a season to exalt you. Your time may not be the same time someone else's time may be. And you've got to learn that you've got to keep your focus on Jesus and not on men, because you'll miss your blessings wondering why the Lord hadn't elevated you and exalted you when you know you're more than the other person he's exalted. So he teaches us to humble ourselves. One of the most beloved scriptures in 2 Chronicles 7:14, we say it all the time. God is speaking to Solomon, and he tells him, if my people, which are called by my name, shall first order of business humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, he says, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. It begins with humility. Humbling yourself. You see, if you're going to be a servant of God, you got to humble yourself. You've got to humble yourself if you're going to serve God, because it is the only way that God can use you to his glory. Jesus, the Savior, one day took a pan of water, and he brought the disciples near him, and he sat down, pulled up his robe, got the pan of water, and said, all right, give me the first foot. And he started washing their feet. Now, the Savior is washing the servant's feet. Now, listen, while he's doing this, I'm sure they're wondering, what is he doing? We ought to be washing his feet. What is he doing? But Jesus began washing their feet, not to start a foot washing ministry, but rather to show them that if the Savior can wash the servant's feet, if there is a need for one to wash another's feet, we ought not be too big to bless our brother or our sister. Amen. It was simply an example of humility. Listen, Jesus, the Bible says, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him. Singular, not plural. Him. And given him a name, listen, which is above every name. Now let's take a moment and walk through this text because I want you to see this. God says wherefore, and the wherefore is because of what came before. He says this. Humility and humiliation came before the elevation and the exaltation. Let me help you understand this. Before he exalted him, Jesus had humbled himself so low so that he was able to endure what none of us could have endured, especially when we did not deserve the pain and the suffering that was placed on Jesus because of our sins. Listen, he suffered the lowest point of humility. In other words, the worst that evil and low-down men could give to him, place upon him, do to him. He suffered that. But how did he suffer it? How was he able to suffer that? He took the lowest point of humility by the highest point of humiliation, by the highest point of humility. In other words, he could take the humiliation because he had humbled himself to the lowest place where nothing offended him. He became of no reputation. Listen, he didn't get all puffed up and say, y'all don't know who y'all messing with. You don't know I'm the son of the Most High God. If you did anything to me, do you know what I... He didn't take that road. He humbled himself and took a punishment that was meant for you and me, as if he had did it himself. Had he done it himself, he would have a right to accept this as he did when he accepted it for us. But there, humility stepped in the midst of humiliation, and he paid a premium price. Now listen at this. When he did that, the Bible says, wherefore God, nobody else, also hath highly exalted him. What does the word exalted mean in this context? It means God promoted him to the highest position in the kingdom. It means that God gave him position, power, and preeminence above anything and anybody else. Because Jesus humbled himself lower than man could ever lower himself to be humble, and then given himself totally for the recovery of man's life back in relationship with God. God honored his humility and said, I'm going to raise you to the highest place. Take this seat next to me at my right hand, and I will make you Lord. And his name, which is above every name. Back in those days and times, people gave names according to either the destiny or the mission or the purpose or some very significant thing in that person's life. They didn't just give them names that didn't make no sense. They gave them names with meaning and reason. And God said, I've given you a name which is above every name. Why? Because Jesus is above everyone. Listen, that at the name Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven, of things in earth, things under the earth. Now let me make it simple, plain what it's saying. At the name of Jesus, every angel, elder in heaven, every man, woman, girl, and boy on earth, every demon, devil, warlock, witch, and everything else in hell is going to bow to the name Jesus. There is nothing that shall escape the reality that he is the one and the only one that God has set up, that everything and everybody will bow down in honor and homage to him because he is worthy. My question to you is, if you can't do it now and you call him Lord, I've got news for you. You're going to do it one day, and when you do it then, it may not be voluntarily. Now listen at this, because then when it goes on into verse 11, it says, listen, and let every tongue, that means every person that lied on him, said he wasn't the one, said he wasn't God's son, every hater, every liar, every enemy, including all those who do know him and love him, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Now listen at this, because what this literally means is that God set Jesus up to give him glory in this position. Every time God sees everyone else bowing down and confessing Jesus is Lord, listen, God gets the glory. Now, you won't talk about a proud father looking at his son when they bow down and worship him. God said, that's my son. That's my boy. That's my boy, because everything his boy did was to glorify his father. And even when men bow down and give him the glory and the honor, he shuffles it on, defers it on to God the Father. Because God orchestrated that Jesus be Lord. Lord, listen, this word Lord, now Jesus was his name. We know that from Matthew chapter 1:21. You should call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. But it was also a part of Hebrewic customs that when a man or a person experienced something major and significant with God, his name would change. So listen at this. You remember it was Abram who had been changed to Abraham. It was Jacob, after his experience with God, had been changed his name to Israel. It was the same man, Paul, whose name was Saul, when he met Jesus on the Damascus Road and changed his name to Paul. And he's looking at that and he's referencing that when he speaks of him having a name above every name, and God giving it to him because of his honoring of God. And the name that God adds to him is a confirmed name, Lord. Now, there are many lords, but there's only one Lord of lords. And when Jesus rose and ascended back to the Father, sat down on his right hand, God the Father made him Lord of lords and kings of kings. No one else could be that. No one else could do that. Jesus is Lord. 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 The reason why it's so quiet in here is because y'all don't know him as Lord. Y'all know him as Jesus. And that's wonderful to know him as Jesus, because you got to know him as Jesus, the Christ, the anointed one that God sent to do his bidding to redeem us back to him, until God elevated him as Lord now over all things and in every place and in every situation. What does that mean now to you and to me? Well, Lord, Lord, let's look at the word, and I'm closing. You see, because you already know he got up. I ain't even got to go there. You know, if some of you there sitting there waiting on me to holler early, I'm way past early. I know some of you don't come but on Easter and Mother's Day and a few other days, and you wait for me. When are you going to say early? Early. That's for you don't come too often. But I'm trying to get to us who are now in the knowledge of what Jesus is now doing for us. He's seated in the heavenly places next to God. He is making intercession.
Yes, yes.
Hebrews 7:25. Making intercession. Well, what does that mean? He's using the power of his name, Lord. He was the Lamb on Friday, lifted up. But he's the Lord on Sunday morning, raised from the dead. Listen, he orders our steps. Psalm 37:23. He ordains our season. Ecclesiastes 3:1. And he owns our soul. Psalm 24:1. He's omniscient. He knows everything. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere at all times. And he's omnipotent. He's all powerful. So I'm just trying to break down L-O. I'm at the O right here now, just in case you hadn't realized it. But then when you get to the R, he's our Redeemer. But not only is he our Redeemer, because he redeemed us, he bought us back, he paid a price we couldn't pay for ourselves. We were on our way to hell because of our own sins. And yet he stepped in and paid our price to be bought back to God. And so after he became our Redeemer, he also became our righteousness. As our righteousness, the only reason why God still hadn't done away with us is because he hides us behind the righteousness of Jesus Christ, our Lord. All have sinned, come short of the glory of God, but it's because of Jesus Christ, our Lord, that God still doesn't do away with us. And then he's our refuge. Anybody ever been through a storm?
anybody had to go and move in another place, trying to get cover away from the enemy.